Case number 08-5471, Dorothy Chappelle Johnson, appellant versus Sheila C. Bair, chairman, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Ms. Reno for appellant, Ms. Sarshik for appellee.
Good morning again. Ellen Reno again for Ms. Chappelle Johnson. And this case is the one where Ms. Potacek is the selecting official. And again, like the other case, there are issues of fact that a jury needs to decide about Potacek's testimony. And she does everything she can to try to distance herself from the decision. First, she says in her affidavit that she didn't know about Chappelle Johnson's protected activity. She answers in a full paragraph explaining how she was not in a management position in her management chain. She had no reason to know about Ms. Chappelle Johnson's EEO activity. Then, in fact, at her deposition, she admits that her boss, Miguel Torrado, had told her that he had to go to the legal department to discuss Chappelle Johnson's EEO claim. So a jury gets to ask, why is she lying in her affidavit?
Isn't there a difference?
Does that
Go ahead.
Does that matter since she doesn't make the initial determination here at all?
Well, that's what she says. But the evidence is she claims that she took the panel's recommendation and that two individuals were tied for first, Paula Foreman and Roger Little. But the two panelists say that only Roger Little was recommended. So, again, we have this, you know, discrepancy, maybe a minor difference in recollection, or maybe a lie, of what the selecting official is saying and what the panel members are saying.
But also, what we do know is that neither of those two panelists, and she wasn't one of them, selected Chappelle Johnson, correct?
That there is no evidence that they did select her. The evidence is, though, however, that the ratings that they gave, that the agency lost them. And so we don't know for a fact what the ratings were. We weren't able to analyze how it could possibly be that Chappelle Johnson, who had performed this position before, was not one of the top candidates.
Why would any of the people involved in the selection, assuming terribly evil discriminatory motives, have any interest in lying as to whether Little or Little and another were at the top? I mean, it just...
I think it's for a jury to decide.
Can you just speculate for us as to how that would advance the cause of discrimination?
You mean Potacek saying that there were two?
Conflict between the two and the just Little.
Well, maybe it makes it seem more legitimate that she actually looked at two applications, because she also testifies falsely about what the guidelines say you have to do. She says the guidelines say you have to take the panel's recommendation.
Sort of waffled on that, though.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't have a theory about that, but it's another misrepresentation. It's not the strongest lie, but I don't think you need the strongest lie to get to a jury, especially when you have other evidence that she says, well, I had to take the panel's recommendation. Well, that's not true. The guidelines don't say that. She says that she could only look at the applications of the recommended candidates from the panel. Well, that's not true. The guidelines say that if there's a second round of interviews, that's when the selecting official only looks at the applications of the panel's recommendees. She also says that the government says that it was not required that the selecting official conduct interviews or participate in the interviews, when in actuality the guidelines say that the selecting official should conduct interviews except where the position's available nationwide, and, you know, sometimes it's hard for the selecting official to always be involved. They haven't articulated that exception here. They haven't explained why Potocnik didn't participate in the interviews. My theory of this case that I would argue to a jury is that Ms. Potocnik's lies all have to do with distancing herself from the decision. She says, I didn't know about the protected activity, that way no one can accuse her of retaliation. When, in fact, at her deposition, she had to admit that she did have some knowledge about the protected activity. She says, well, she didn't participate in the interview. Can't blame me. All I did was take the panel decision, and that's what the guidelines require. Again, not true. She's doing everything she can to say, not me, not me. It's the panel.
Do you know when the conversation occurred at which she did hear of the protected activity?
It would have been before the decision in this case.
Yeah, but how much before?
I mean, it would have. It's from the other case, the case that we just argued. So it. I'm not sure if the time frame is pinned down in the deposition. They haven't argued, though. Defendant has not argued that she knew about it at the deposition but didn't know about it before.
No, I'm not suggesting that. Okay. I'm just...
Oh, no, she says fall of 2001.
Excuse me?
Wait. Just a second. You want to know when the conversation with Toronto happened. Do you recall when that occurred? No. And then the question is, that would have occurred sometime between the fall of 2001 up until January 2006. And then the next page is not included in the joint appendix.
Here we have it. And the selection process is going on in what time period?
2004.
So I guess if the range actually is between 2001 and 2006, the information can come in as much as 3 years before or 2 years after the decision was made.
Right, but I think that's their obligation to put on that defense. It's our obligation to create an issue of fact and enough evidence that a reasonable jury could say that she lied in her affidavit, and then when she was under oath at a deposition, had to admit. Because at first she says, no, she didn't know about it. And then when she's pressed, she says, oh, yeah, I did know. Michael Toronto told me he had to go to legal. And at first she says, to discuss an EEO complaint. And then the question has to be asked, well, was it Dorothy Chappelle Johnson's EEO complaint? And she says yes. So she's kind of trying to hide the fact that she knows about the protected activity. And I think that falsehood alone is enough to get the claim to a jury. She's lying about a material issue of fact. She is a personnelist. She knows that if she doesn't know about the protected activity, that Ms. Chappelle Johnson can't win a case of retaliation. And I think a jury can infer from that that's the reason she's lying. And if you have no further questions, I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. No? Okay. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Barbara Sarshik for the FDIC. I'd like to address Ms. Reno's point about the alleged falsity of the selecting officer's testimony as to her knowledge of Ms. Chappelle Johnson's EEO activity. The district court correctly held at page 13 of its opinion that what Potocheck testified to was awareness of an EEO complaint regarding, in quotes, Chappelle Johnson. And I believe that the testimony of Ms. Potocheck in her deposition at Joint Appendix 118 bears out that she responded, regardless of how she was asked the question, she responded that the complaint was regarding Dorothy Chappelle Johnson. And the district court correctly held that knowledge of a complaint regarding Ms. Chappelle Johnson is not the same as knowledge of a complaint by Ms. Chappelle Johnson. Additionally, any knowledge that the selecting official had is irrelevant because Ms. Chappelle Johnson was screened out. That's undisputed by the interview panel. It is undisputed. And
is Potocheck required, therefore, to pick one of the two people from the recommendations of the panel?
I don't know that she is required to.
Right, so then screened out's not really the right phrase, is it?
Well, in the sense, Your Honor, and I apologize for not having the exact answer, I believe that she could have convened, if for some reason, she could have convened a new panel, she could have gone through the process all over again, but she was a veteran of hiring. She wanted to do this the right way, and she testified that she was going to defer. She intended to defer or respect the panel's recommendations. Whether they're recommendations or ratings, that's another allegation of false testimony. It is undisputed that the interview panel communicated to Ms. Potocheck that their top two choices were Mr. Little and Ms. Foreman, and that from that point on, that was all Ms. Potocheck considered. It is also undisputed that neither interviewer knew about Ms. Chappelle Johnson's prior EEO activity, and that there has never been a contention that there was discrimination or retaliation by the interviewers. It's all been focused on the level of Ms. Potocheck, which is why it's important that by the time it got to Ms. Potocheck, she never considered Ms. Chappelle Johnson's application. She considered the top two applicants, and that's how she made her choice. The district court correctly held that the FDIC provided a legitimate non-discriminatory reason for not selecting Ms. Chappelle Johnson, specifically that the interviewers did not believe she was the top, one of the top two candidates, and once they provided the names of the top two candidates to the selecting official, Ms. Chappelle Johnson was effectively out of it, and the selecting office officer focused only on the top two. The district court correctly held that no reasonable jury could find discrimination or retaliation based on the evidence presented by Ms. Chappelle Johnson. And indeed, the district court said at pages 20 to 21 that all evidence in the record supported the FDIC's reason. Unless this court has any other questions, I'll conclude by respectfully asking this court to affirm the district court. Thank you.
Ms. Reno, I think you have a minute, 30 seconds. We'll give you 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you. The court did find that there wasn't a discrepancy between Ms. Potocheck's deposition testimony on the issue of whether she knew about the EEO complaint And I submit that that was the court, district court's finding was drawing an inference in favor of the defendant because she is asked.
Well, technically, isn't the district court simply examining the language to see whether there is indeed a contradiction?
But the court is drawing the inference.
Isn't it the case that the court is analyzing the language?
When you're analyzing language, you draw inferences sometimes. Unless the language is undisputable, it requires drawing an inference. She said, in response to the question, an EEO complaint by Dorothy Chappelle Johnson, she says, and someone asked him who it was regarding, and he said Dorothy Chappelle Johnson, and that is all that was said. So she knew Dorothy Chappelle Johnson engaged in EEO activity. Now,
regarding Dorothy Chappelle Johnson was somehow that a complaint having something to do with Dorothy Chappelle Johnson.
And a jury could infer that it's that it was a complaint by Dorothy Chappelle Johnson. Because regarding could be that she's a selecting official, or she's an alleged discriminating official, or it could mean that she is the complainant. And at summary judgment, you can't decide which it is. You have to take the inference that's in the light most favorable to the complainant, which is that she knew. And in her affidavit, she said she didn't know. And later in her deposition, she says she did know. The other issue, you had asked me before about Little and Foreman, and why would Potacek say Little and Foreman and the other two panelists say that they only recommended Little? Well, it could be that maybe they are all lying because they cannot get their story straight, and maybe that is why.
Yeah, but if they agreed on absolutely everything, then you'd say that they had obviously gotten together and agreed their stories.
I wouldn't. I would say there are no issues of fact because I have to have evidence. And here, the evidence that their stories are not straight, plus the fact that the interview notes were destroyed. Ms. Potacek has no explanation for why the interview notes just suddenly disappeared. So a jury could conclude, based on the destruction of evidence and the fact that the testimony about who was recommended doesn't match up, that in fact Dorothy Chappelle Johnson was one of the recommended people from the panel, and that nobody's telling the truth about it because they don't have the notes to show that they're lying.
All right, thank you, Ms. Lopez.
Thank you.
This honorable court now stands adjourned. It's Tuesday morning at 9:30.